Let's read in the book of Galatians chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. All right, he goes on to say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now there's a lot that we could say here. There's just so many things here I'd like to speak on. Paul continues to say, ye see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul here speaks of the Israel of God, which of course we're the Israel of God. The Bible said, he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly, he is the true Jew. And so then he that is Israel outwardly is not Israel, but the true Israel of God, that's you and I, the spiritual Jew. So the wonderful blessings of God are not intended for a people as to a nationality. There is no respect to person with God. The only thing that God respects is the spirit of his son in your heart. And if you have the spirit of his son in your heart, then are ye the special one as to his very son. And he sends his spirit into your heart crying, Abba, Father, that you may know that ye are sons. So he tells us here that we as sons should sow to the spirit and not to the flesh. He said that we're not to be deceived, that whatever man sows, that's the proof of what he is. If he sows to the flesh, it is a proof that he is a bond child, that he's not a son of God. And if he sows to the spirit, it is a proof that he is a son of God and not a bond child. And he says here that if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap natural things, which are corruptible. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption, or you'll reap things that deteriorate, or natural, corruptible treasures. But if you sow to the spirit, you'll reap eternal treasures, or eternal life, or that which will not corrupt, because all of that which is eternal is spirit. And so then he tells us here what kind of person we are to be. Not only that, but he tells us what kind of person we are if we are walking in the Spirit. And he tells us what kind of person we are as to the differentiating between the good and the bad. He says, as to they that sow to the Spirit, said it is manifested as to what they are doing. And they that sow to the flesh, it is manifested as to what they are doing. He says, they that sow to the flesh, it is made manifest, said it's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, where the Bible said in stubbornness and rebellion is the same as witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, though they belong to the churches, and though they have all kind of preachers, and though they have all kind of religious experiences, and though they go to church regularly, and though they give in the offerings, and though they do all kind of things, he said, they are not Christians, they are not sons of God, and they will not go into heaven. Now, folks, that brings it down the way that you can understand it, doesn't it? Doesn't it? He said, if you're the kind of person that goes around envying somebody because they have a little something that is as to the wealth or a little as to the appearance that looks a little better in the flesh to you than somebody else, he said, that's a positive proof that you don't have Christ Jesus. Because that is Satan that savors the things that be of the flesh, and you're looking on the outward appearance. As to monetary values, as to positions in the world, as to dignitaries, as to celebrities, as to anything that you might admire, as to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or anything that you might desire in this world, he said, it is a positive proof that you are void of eternal life. You don't have eternal life. Now, I know we'd like to put our brother in heaven. We'd love to put our sister in heaven. We'd love to put our wife in heaven. We'd love to put our husband in heaven. We'd love to go to heaven. And we try to preach our wife in and the husband in and everybody else in. But when we get through with all of it, the old-fashioned preaching of the old-fashioned preacher that says it's holiness or hell, that's the way it's going to be. Like I heard when I was a boy coming up along in that time where they said there was a preacher that preached, and he'd either preach holiness or hell. He kept preaching on holiness, 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 and they said, they went to him and said, well, don't you know anything else to preach on? He said, yes, I know one other subject, hell. Said it's either holiness or hell. So that's the way it is. The Bible said God is the spirit of holiness, and without holiness no man shall see the Lord. And the Bible said that we should be holy in body and in spirit. A lot of people say, well, I believe, Brother Pike, and that makes me holy. But the Bible said be holy in body and in spirit. I am holy in my spirit by faith in the righteousness of my Redeemer. I'm holiness by faith in the righteousness of my Redeemer. I am holy in my body by virtue of the acts that I do through life as to conformity to the spirit of holiness on the inside of me, as I conform to that spirit of holiness and as I subdue my body, bringing it under subjection. Paul said, keeping under my body, bringing it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. And my faith without works is dead. I therefore subdue my body. I practice holiness in my everyday walk of life. And I incorporate within my lifestyle the inner spirit of holiness. And Paul said, and the God whom I serve with my spirit, even the God of holiness. So then the invisible God, I serve him by faith in the righteousness of his Son, and he purifies my heart by faith and sends his spirit into my heart to seal me as to the purification, in that the purification as to faith and sanctification has driven out the unclean spirits, because unclean spirits cannot dwell in a clean house. And once he has cleaned my temple, driven the spirits out of me, then the Holy Spirit comes into me and seals me. And then I am perfect in his sight, sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of the change is to the redemption of my body, and the change of my body, which is witting the redemption of the purchased possession, in that he purchased this body as a possession at Calvary, and it is his possession in that he purchased it with his own blood, and he has purchased us, he has redeemed us, and we are his, and we are bought with a price. And it's our reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So then, I make manifest the life of Christ, which is the spirit of holiness, in my mortal genes. His spirit lived the perfect life of holiness in the Jesus body, and gave the Jesus body as the perfect lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, because he lived the perfect life and proved it was the perfect lamb, that no one could lay anything to his charge. And they said, as Pilate judged Jesus, I find no fault in this just man. He was the perfect sacrifice. Therefore, the Bible said, being made perfect, he became the author and the finisher of our salvation. And even though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things that he suffered, even unto death on the cross. His countenance being marred more than any man, his back was plowed like a field. The nails in his hands, the thorns in his head, and the nails in his feet, and the spear in his side. And he was then, as we recorded of the coming of the Lord in the time of the return of Jesus, he is called the vesture dipped in blood, or the word of God. So we find that this Jesus had the spirit of Christ on the inside. And when the spirit of Christ had perfected holiness, then the spirit of Christ folded up the Jesus body, the tabernacle in which God tabernacled, the Son in which he said, I am pleased to dwell. And he folded it up, fulfilling every jot and tittle of the law in that body, folded that body up at Calvary, laid it away. That was the end of the law. The law thus had been fulfilled for us, every jot and tittle. I've told you so many times, and the Bible said, and not one jot nor tittle of the law shall pass away till all be fulfilled. And so Jesus said, it is finished. So he folded it up, laid it away, fulfilled the prophecy that Daniel spoke of when the angel came to him 500 years before or 483 years before. Fulfilled this prophecy that said, Messiah shall come. He shall make an end of sin and an end of iniquity. And this bodily image of iniquity and the transgression of the law, which is sin, it was all taken away. The body was folded up. It was laid away. Every jot and every tittle was fulfilled of the law. And then Paul came with the revelation, knowing this, and it was revealed to him what Jesus had done, the same way in our day that it was revealed to me as to what Jesus had done. And when he preached it to the Jews, that there was no more law, that the law was for no more as to them that would believe on Jesus Christ, they rejected it and would not accept it. So then they killed the apostles and they done away with him. I know a lot of times we want to blame the Jews for killing the Messiah, but that isn't right. See, the Jews did not kill the Messiah. People down through the years, they want to blame the Jews with that and say the Jews killed the Messiah. But that isn't right. The Jews did not kill the Messiah. The Gentiles killed the Messiah. They're the ones that killed the Messiah. It's recorded in Mark very clearly. There Jesus said, and I will go up to Jerusalem and I shall be delivered into the hands of the Jews. Or he said rather into the hands of the priest, the high priest, or the chief priest. And he said, and into the hands of the Jews. And they will scourge me, and they will spit on me, and they will mock me, and they will condemn me unto death. He said, and they will deliver me unto the Gentiles, that they should do all of this, to kill me and to mock me, that they will do all of this. And so then it was, and he was delivered unto the Gentiles, and the Gentiles killed Jesus because it wasn't even lawful for the Jews to put a man to death at that day. That was the day of the feast. So, see, we get all mixed up in our understanding, and here's what we've got to remember, folks, that the end of the days of the Gentiles is nigh at hand. And not only did the Gentiles crucify Jesus and kill him, but now they are crucifying him afresh and putting him to an open shame because the Lord has come and told them, as the Bible said, they shall all be taught of God, told them this, and they still go after the things of the world and won't listen. The Bible said salvation is of the Jews, and that Jesus was born there, and salvation was in the name, and it was the first to be preached in Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. See, and said that the Gentiles, as to the things of the world, they love the things of the world. And said the Gentiles seek after all of these things. And so they do. They want fame. They want money. They want education. They want popularity. They want convenience. They want to be a celebrity. They want to be some kind of something outside of a child of God or outside of a Christian. And they're always vainly puffed up by their religious, fleshly, intellectual mind. Always self-esteem, thinking too highly of themselves. And they're always a problem. The Gentiles has always been a problem. But here at the last, God is ready to bring the Jews back in, cut off the Gentiles, and withdraw from them completely. And in the end of the days of the Gentiles, it's going to be a very sorrowful situation for them. Antichrist is going to take them over. The Jews, the Lord blinded them in part, that they may be out of his presence during the church ages, that the Gentiles might have right to eternal life. And God is going to bring the Jews back in and open their eyes, and they will gladly accept their Messiah. And they will weep. They will weep. They will cry bitterly, knowing that they had any kind of part in that, because they will say, the Messiah, where did you get the nails in your hands? And he will say, in the house of my friends. and then they will weep and they will cry, because they know that they delivered him unto the Gentiles to be killed. And then they cried out, let his blood be upon us. Whereas they had to have the blood upon them, because the only protection they had as the scapegoat for the Gentiles was that they have the blood covering, as it had always been, as to a typical thing down through the years, by the fire that was in the cloud. But because of that, as to having the blood upon them, they had to also accept the fact that they would be part of the vesture dipped in blood. That Jesus being the head, there would be the membership, and that the blood upon them would be that they would be the vesture dipped in blood as to the membership of that word of God, and that going through the crisis, as Jacob passing through the fire, or the time of Jacob's trouble, which is a tribulation such as was never known from the beginning of the world, through the tribulation period, see that they would suffer, and through the Holocaust that they would suffer, and that they would suffer all of these things for one reason, and that was because God chose them to be the scapegoat, that the Gentiles might have the grace of God and be saved. And so then he will receive them with open arms. He will receive his brethren. He made the statement among his brethren. He said, Father, these have been with me in the time of my shame. As the Bible said, and he endured Calvary. He endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, but for the joys that were set before him. And he said, now that they have been with me during the time of my shame, I ask, Heavenly Father, that they might be with me in the time of my victory and my triumphs, or that is the time when I sit upon the throne and they see my glory. So we see that the Lord is trying to tell us here something concerning the days of the Gentiles and concerning our sins if we be of the Gentiles. Now, did you crucify the Lord Jesus? Of course you did. Not only did you crucify him, but you're crucifying him all over again and putting him to an open shame. And this time, you don't have any remission for your sins. So that means that you are coming to the end of your way. The end of your way, when your kingdom will be filled in darkness and you'll be under the regime of the Antichrist and you will gnaw your tongue for pain and there won't be any healing medicine. But to you that are the beloved of God, the true Israel, Paul said, the blessings of the Lord be upon you, because he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly. And the spirit of my son, Christ, that lived the overcoming life in the Jesus body, is now within you. And as it was with the Jesus body and with the Jews, as to a headship and a body, so it is with you as to Christ and with the Spirit of Christ. Or that is to say, as the Spirit of Christ in you, and the Spirit of Christ that was in the Christ's body, it makes you the very bone and flesh of the Lord Jesus. So then the Christ has come back after your spirit as the Christ of the new birth, as the Christ child born into this body. Paul said, and I travail until Christ be formed within you. So then the Christ has come back after your spirit, because the Father of spirits desires a spiritual son. As it was with Jacob, he wanted Rachel from the start, but he had to take Leah. The laws of the land was you cannot take the younger before you take the elder. And that was typical in the sense that as when the Lord came, he wasn't looking for this body of condemnation and this body of iniquity and this body of rebellion and jealousy and fornication and hatred and all of these other things. This body that loves the things of the world. He wasn't looking for Leah as to the Jew which showed this in their natural body. That's why that he went as he did to get the Gentile bride. But he had to receive the Jew. He had to receive the Jew in the beginning as to the flesh, that he might lay down a typical thing for the spiritual following as to the true Israel. There had to be a natural type, because you cannot take the younger until you get the elder. And as it was down in Egypt, the firstborn was to be smitten. And the secondborn, it was said, and the elder shall serve the younger. So then, when the spiritual one came, as to the labor, first 7 years for Leah, when it was really for Rachel, and they did the thing that they did to Jacob, and he had to take Leah. Then 7 more years, and then he got Rachel. But he labored 7 years in the beginning for, as we say, Jesus, as to a dispensation of time. The first time he came for the Spirit. He came for the Spirit, but he could not get the Spirit. Because the laws of nature says that you cannot get an egg without a shell. You've got to have a shell first. So the little chick goes along, the hen, if you'll watch it, it'll go along and it'll peck and it'll pick up little elements and different things to form that shell. And then comes the egg within the shell. You do not get the peanut without the hull. And it's always been that way, as to get this life, as to the spiritual angelic interman. It is shown by the allegoric types. Always it's been that way. To get that, you must first have a body. And then with this body, even as it was Jesus, that there is a formation until Christ be formed on the inside of you, or as God was formed to a human conformity on the inside of the Jesus body, to tabernacle within the Jesus body. Thus we know now what God looks like, the same with you, until Christ be formed on the inside of you. See, before Jesus came, nobody knew what God looked like. Nobody could approach unto the great Spirit or the great light. God is the invisible one, the great Spirit, the great light, under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, not Moses or anyone else. When people tell you that Moses saw God, they don't understand what they're talking about. See, no man has ever seen God at any time. No man can even get near God. Even Paul, just seeing a light that came from God, it blinded his natural eyes. And the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation as to the coming of the great God, who is the great light, that not even the mountains can stand in his presence. Not even the sea can stand in his presence. Not even the stars can stand in his presence. Nothing in the world can stand in his presence. When God, the great light, comes, everything dissipates. So man can't even get near God. He must be born of the Spirit and put off this body. And then he, as the angelic interspiritual being, is hid with Christ the Spirit in God, who is the Spirit, until the time of the change of this body, when this body is changed into a spiritual Christ body. For Paul said there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. There is one that is changed from corruptible to incorruptible, from the natural to the spiritual, from the terrestrial to the celestial. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. So then, God said, this tabernacle in which I am pleased to dwell. And the conformity was as to the mold, and when the mold was rent and open at Calvary, out stepped the invisible God, whom you cannot see unless you see him through spiritual eyes. For Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send the Comforter, even the invisible God. He will come to you, even as the God that lived on the inside of me. And my Father is to my Spirit, and that God Spirit is one. And now I will come to you. I go away, but I will come to you as God within your heart. And when I come to you, I will come in my own name. That is, I will come in the Father's name. That is to say, God coming in his own name. Or as Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and I've kept them in your name. And remission of sin was to be preached in the Heavenly Father's name. And God said, Son, I will give you a name that no one knows. I spoke the other night as this having to do with the bride. He said, for only to whom you will reveal it, these will know this name. Now, a man doesn't give his name to anybody except his bride and his children. So then we see that what happened was that Christ went away, but he did come back. Now, he came back before the world ever knew God. God told him, said, don't worship stars, don't worship trees, don't worship things. And then the object of worship came, the word God, meaning object of worship, And when the object of worship came, it was Jesus. And Jesus said to the woman at the well, we know that Messiah will come that will tell us all things. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. And so then at this, she marveled. So when he came in the human form, we then had the object of worship. Now, the Bible says, we have known him after the flesh. But from henceforth, we know him no more. After the tabernacle, as to the flesh. But we know him after the spirit. And we're told that we're not to know any man after the flesh. Because as Jesus came in the likeness as to the image of vanity, to do away with vanity, and the vanity must be done away with. And all that you behold around you is but vanity. Solomon said vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Or that is to say, as the mirror that's called the vanity, that all of this world, including your body, as to the first birth, as to your image of what you are, is nothing but a reflection of the invisible world. And that it is a vanity, and it came by means of vanity, as to lying vanities, through the fall of mankind, and that it will last through a certain period as called time, and then time will be done away with, and the vanity will be done away with, and the brightness of that from which all things emanated will come, and the vanities will dissipate. And there will be nothing left except the originality as to God himself and the God image, which is the spiritual image, in that you're born as a living soul, passing from death unto life. You become a quickening spirit, and then you are equal to the angels, because he makes his angel spirits, and you're no more as to the living soul that can die. You've been born of God, you pass from death unto life, you are thus sealed on the inside with the spirit as to God being interwoven with Christ, then Christ as God is interwoven with you. So the Son, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, in that the interweaving with you is by measure, which means God in his office as the Holy Ghost. As collectively speaking, the children, the members. And then, of course, we see Jesus falling into the feminine place there as the church, or the head of the church, or that is to say, like they have a dispute, especially out west, they have a dispute as to who's the sons of God and who is the bride. I've made mention of this before. And they don't understand, and they dispute. They fight over this. When I was preaching up and down the coast of California and through the West, they dispute over this. And I could tell that neither one of them knew what they were talking about. See, because the reality of it is that God is the eternal spirit. And that all of us, as children of God, are sons and daughters of God to the Heavenly Father. But when it comes to the change, we're leaving sonship and we're becoming the bride, to the extent that Jesus, being the Son, as the head, as to the firstborn, as to the first of the sons, then he takes himself a bride. And we are heirs to this through him. And being heirs through him, then we become the members of his body. And of course, as the mystery is, the members of the body being the woman, as to the man, then the man is the head, she is the members. It's the great mystery of the church. Paul spoke of it as the man and the woman being one. So then we are the bride to the Son of God. And the Son of God has come to get his bride, even the membership. But to God, he is the first brother among many brethren, and all of us are children of God, as children in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so then we find that by this we don't have a dispute among us through ignorance as the fighting about who is the most important, the bride or the sons. We don't have this kind of foolishness, because all of those things come from ignorance and it causes division. And there is no division in the body of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, and when I bring Zion again, they shall see eye to eye. They shall not break ranks, neither shall they pierce each other through. So we see that God is telling us that the Christ Spirit that tabernacled in the Jesus body has folded up the Jesus body to fulfill the righteousness as a lamb without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, and now has set this body as the blood atonement, as the vesture dipped in blood upon the throne, and has left that body to come back down into this world, to enter into your heart and my heart in measure, as the wheat harvest, which is by measure, as to the Holy Ghost. And the tabernacling inside of you, it is the high priest Aaron in the type that is officiating inside of your tabernacle to bring your spirit into perfection, because that was the office of Aaron. So we know that the first harvest as to that under the law was the barley harvest, which meant one, and they waved the sheave as to one whole barley bunch. But as to the wheat, it comes 40 days later. That is to say, from this time, it's 50 days as to the inclusiveness, as to the ascension and coming back. Seven sevens, 49 as to 49 in one day, as to added, as to the inclusiveness of this, as to the 50 days, bringing Pentecost. And this is the wheat harvest, or that which is ground, which means Gentile or church ages, which means to you and I a measure, that you might have a measure. So the Christ is now within you, and you are the Christ's body, as to members in particular, ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, and that is collectively speaking, or as you individually want to obtain, as to whatever you can. See, going on to the full reward. So we understand then that death is gone, because transgression of the law is sin, and the sting of death is sin. And if there's no law, there is no transgression. If there is no transgression, there is no sin. If there is no sin, there is no death. Death, where is thy sting? That is to say, sin. Jesus took it out at Calvary. And Paul said, we therefore conclude that the grave has no victory, in that there is no death. And in that we've come beyond that, I know a lot of folks would say, well, Brother Pike, I understand that we spiritually are alive and we spiritually don't die. I know that. But see, the thing is, why did he say the grave did not have any victory? If it doesn't have to do with the body, you don't put the spirit in the grave. The grave can't hold the spirit. He said, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? See, that is to say, when Jesus wrought this at Calvary, we were baptized into his death in his name. That meant that we did not have to die and be buried, put in a casket and dirt thrown over us. He said, for ye are gods, and gods cannot die. He said, but you're going to die. Just like he was God, went up on the mountain, appeared in glory, came back and died as a man. Not dying as you and I would die. For he said, ye are gods, but you'll die like men, from the lack of knowledge, the lack of understanding, the lack of comprehending, the lack of witting the redemption of your body. You've got to go through the channel of this training and go into your diplomacy. And then when you finish your diplomacy, then they won't be able to put you in a casket anymore. You'll be changed. There'll be a generation that'll find to come to it. And then there'll be a change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, like that. Because immediately he'll come back as soon as they finish their diplomacy. The dead will get up out of the graves, because the grave won't have any victory. See, at the change of the church. So I said that to say this, that when you're baptized, you're baptized for the dead. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no more you that's living. The body of sin is now dead. It's paid its penalty through Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, reckon yourselves then to be dead indeed by the body of Jesus unto sin and unto the world. Come out from the world, be a separate people. And now, you having been baptized into Christ Jesus, you put on Christ Jesus, and you are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then when you are baptized for the dead, you are put on the Lord Jesus, you no longer have to die. People that went into the grave, those that have gone into the grave that he went down into the heart of the earth to get, are those that were back under the law, because they could not be made perfect without us. But we've been made perfect. For God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, and having sanctified them once and for all by the Jesus body as to the perfect one, he thus has sanctified us one time and forever as to our spiritual inner being, and he hath made us perfect, and sealed us with the Holy Spirit on the inside, as the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption or the change of the body. See, and as to wit the redemption of the purchased possession, which he purchased at Calvary with his own blood. See, don't grieve the Spirit. He said, for he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Which means Jesus coming back after the church without the church that is without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. So then I say again, what are we to do? We are to make manifest by means of this Christ Spirit that lived perfect. We are to make manifest by the means of the Spirit that dwells within us, the Christ Spirit, this life manifested in our mortal genes. For the Bible said in this life of Christ to be made manifest in your mortal genetics. And this is what brings the change. As on the inside, my spirit immediately translated into the Spirit of Christ as the kingdom of God. And then as to a period of my life, as to whatever is required, a graduating state of mind or a graduality from this instantaneous translation of spirit into spirit, the kingdom of God, the law and the prophets, from Calvary, my spirit with Christ's spirit, that is to say, his spirit gradually possessing my spirit as I surrender my thoughts on the inside, my mind on the inside, my life on the inside, till I can say it's not me living but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, the eternal life, is by the life of the Son of God, who gave himself for me, giving me his life, folding his body up, doing without his life at an age of about 33, and then turning and giving me his life. And so then I now have his life, because I lost my life and he took my death. Now, he lost his life to me. You understand? Delivered from my offenses, raised again for the justification. So then today, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth. I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And Paul said, you receive me as the Lord himself. So then, the Christ Spirit has worked gradually in my life and is working in your life as from one revelation, as one inspiration, as one understanding to another, all down through the years till it finally transformates your mind as to your innermost understanding as pertaining to the soul. And then when this is finished, there will be another instantaneous change. That will not be the translation nor the transformation, but it will be the transfiguration. So the new birth is the translation of your spirit into Christ's spirit, but transformation as to the church ages. And the transfiguration is as to what you refer to as the rapture or the change. So it's translation of spirit, transformation of your soul as to the mind, and transfiguration of your body. As from Egypt, where the blood is applied over the doorpost during the night, and as coming from the Red Sea of the crossing through the wilderness as to the transformation of the tutoring of that which is by Moses until it reaches the Jordan, which is the sudden change as overcoming death as to the transfiguration that takes you into Canaan. All those things are types and shadows, as we said, and all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, so that we are without excuse. We understand it all, even the eternal Godhead, so we don't have to fuss over the Godhead, or there doesn't have to be any dispute over the Godhead. It's very clear, very clear. All right, been just a little tired tonight. We just kind of staggered along a little bit to bring you a lesson and try to talk with you. But I hope you understand what I am saying, because this has great and mighty significance. I must do away with fornication and adultery and all of these things I have done away with, as to lying and cheating, as to gossiping, as to backbiting, as to covetousness, as to the gullible desires of the things of the world, and as to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, having mortified the deeds of the flesh, See, having done away with that, and indeed I have, by the body of Jesus, I am dead to the body. And the body is dead because of sin, and my spirit is free from the body. It went back to God. It's dwelling in heaven. And now my body is that body as to Christ, that which he sees over there on the throne is to the blood-dipped vesture. And as a lamb, I'm delivered every day as to death, dying daily. And as over this chasm of the church ages, then comes the Lord, and he is my life. And when he, my life, appears, the body will appear, and I'll be changed into his membership. Even though I already am in the sight of God and in the mind of God, and all of this was given to me in the mind of God before the world ever was, and the whole transition of everything from beginning to end is only the mind of God that has come forth to present itself into your life and reveal to you every stage of your life, every day, every hour, every moment, till every thought is perfect and in subjection to him, and no more thoughts of you, until the transformation on the inside is to every generation. It is just the mind of God coming and telling you what he is, what he has done, and what this makes you by coming to the knowledge of the understanding of what you was in him before the world ever was. And now it's being revealed to you as to God's working days, which are just about at an end, as to the act of creation. And with this, as to the last day, when he made man, and this coming right on down to the last day, and coming right on down the last part of it at the sounding of the last trumpet, to lift up thy voice like a trumpet, the last trumpet, the trump of God means the voice of Jesus. And as many waters, which is many people, as to the gathering together in the book of Revelation. And so with the sounding of the last trumpet, the mystery is finished, or that is to say, the mind of God, which is a mystery to humanity, is thus revealed as to the very last parts of it, down to the minute, down to the details, and with that, the change. Because that is what it is. It's all him. Everything is him. So we are making allowance by righteousness of him, virtue of him. Christ is within us, that life that lived the perfect life in the tabernacle. And that life that is now in you and I, the perfect life, as to whatever measure you have allowed it to come into you, is working its way in as to whatever measure you will allow. And as to that, your reward, your dimension, as to your heights of glory, as to whatever you'll be, whatever you'll obtain unto, going on to a full reward. Paul said, as to forgetting those things that are behind, all of worldly things, I'm pressing forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, are to become that life in its fullness. For Jesus is the Prince of Life, the fullness of life. To be his bride, to be his membership, to come, to be perfect as him, to overcome, to sit down on the throne, to have the fullness of life. I made a statement today. When we think about life, what is life? Life, what is life? Life is a constitution of divine characteristics. And it is governed by the principles of its own state of being. See, and that's why that when God begins to talk to you and I, he tries to explain to us, he hath made and created, and all things have emanated from him. All things made by him and for his pleasure was they made. And that means that whatever God does to us, as through healing, as through blessings, or whatever the limitations of God would be only as to his own state of being, as to sovereignty, in that all things are reproduced as from God, just like from man as to his own image. And therefore we are governed and controlled by the divine principles of whatever is projected from the divinity as to deity. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. But anyway, this is the way it is, and if we had more time, there's a lot of details that we'd have to go into as to deep, mysterious details, and really not mysterious at all if you understand it, because all a mystery is that which is not revealed. And when something is revealed, it's no longer a mystery, it's a revelation. As to God, he is a mystery, but when he's revealed, then he is a revelation. All the revelation is the revealing of the mystery. And the Bible said that which is revealed belongs unto man, that which is secret belongs unto God. The secret things belong unto God. So let me say this in closing. So it is that his mind is being revealed in you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be God. Or the Bible said to be equal with God. Or that is to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that said, I have made you gods, so then that ye should think that ye are gods. That's the mind. And with this, what happens? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he thinks he's a man, he'll forever be a man. If he thinks he's a god, he will become a god. But he can't make believe. It has to be as to the heart, for with the heart man believeth. Many people will believe as the devil. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Even the righteousness of the Christ Spirit that forms on the inside of you, that changes you into God as to the eternal spiritual body, as this is made manifest in your mortal genes. Not because you have to die. Dying don't have nothing to do with it. What does it have to do with as to die and rot or the worms eat you? That ain't no plan of God. The Bible said God hath no pleasure in death. Death comes by the enemy. Death comes by man. And that you're allowance of the enemy. All right. You love the Lord? Amen. Let's stand together. Many things we'd like to say, but we've said many things already. Do you understand now what we're saying? Someone said, well, why do we have to know all of this, Brother Pye? Because that's where life is. My words are spirit and life. The word is the mind of God revealed. It was manifested in human body as to show us God in form. People recorded it with their own eyes. They felt of it. They handled it. And then when he went away, he returned as a spiritual image, which he had never been an image before. Never been an image. God fills all the heavens and the earth, and what tabernacle or house can you make me? But he did personify himself and show that we were in his image, that man was made in his form, in his likeness, and in his image. Therefore, inasmuch as Christ has returned unto us, now he's in the world where two or three come together in his name, he is in the midst of us. You don't see him with natural eyes, but we see him as to this light. We comprehend the eyes, the depth, width, and length. And though people of this world who are in darkness as to intellectual ignorance don't see him because they don't comprehend him. So then Christ is in our midst. It is God in a personification. We now know what God looks like. So in our minds we worship God. We worship God as the image of Jesus Christ. Before that they could not worship God because they didn't know what kind of image to worship. They worshiped stars and everything else. But now the invisible God can be worshiped as the image of Jesus Christ. That is to say, Jesus always said, it's not me doing the works, but the Father. And the flesh went away that we might never know God after the flesh anymore. That God is the Spirit. And we're to know Christ after the Spirit. Even the second man, Adam, that was made a quickening spirit. This is why the Jews never did understand. But nevertheless, this is wonderful, even the revelation of the Lord Jesus, or the revealing of Christ as to what he really is. To see him as he is, even as a revelation, as a declaration that comes from God Almighty. For the Bible said, he dwelt within the bosom of the Son, and the Son hath declared him, or made him a revelation. And we, as to this declaration, as to, we say, the Declaration of Independence, as to the declaration of deity or the declaration of God. We comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length. In our understanding, and the Bible to the righteous shall understand. The wicked shall not comprehend and understand. So then we have the education and the ignorant don't. In the world, they may have the education, we may not. But as to the true education, that's only a type. See, so we have the mind of Christ, not the mind of a professor. Or the mind of Lucifer as to a numerical order, and as to these things as pertaining to the natural. Whereas God gives us both. Thank God we understand all of it. He that hath the mind of Christ understands it all, because the Bible said, you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. And what my Father's made known unto me, I've made known unto you, and all them that are born of God, the Bible said, that they are of a good understanding. And this shall be as to the Jews when they went into Canaan. This will be the fear that the people will fear you because of your wisdom and your understanding. And the Bible said they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. They beheld his face as that of an angel. So, having this heavenly treasure in the earthen vessels, as to say, heavenly treasure, the knowledge of God. Keep searching, you'll find the knowledge of God. Solomon said, with wisdom get understanding. And you're the children of understanding, for the righteous shall understand, the wicked shall not. and with this a heavenly treasure, because this understanding is to Christ the Word, even the Spirit of life, has spoken all things into existence as to gold and silver, jewels and power and riches and whatever it might be. So that's the real treasure. The other is just vanities that will pass away. So in this, you are children of the Spirit. And the Bible said, live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. You belong to a God of Spirit. You're children of the Spirit. You are spiritual sons and daughters. You are quickening spirits. You live in a spiritual world. Don't mess with this world around you that's passing away and be contaminated with the things of the world. Don't let the devil aggravate you. Leave those things that's in the world. Don't bother with those things, because you are children of another world, of another dimension. You're passing through the land of Esau. Pay your way. You're on your way to Canaan. That's where your inheritance is. Get away from jealousy. Get away from envy. Get away from strife. I felt something as I moved. See, as slight as it is, I felt it. Still working with the same fellow that it always works with. Don't do that. Don't be silly. Don't be foolish. Don't you know God knows you are? It doesn't matter if you come a million times, if you try to be whatever. God knows your heart, and you got this problem, and you need to eradicate it. You love the Lord? You resent me being up here and feel like you ought to be up here? Why don't you come on up here? Why don't you do that now? Just come on up here now. It'll be okay. That's the way you feel about me. But I've got a message for you. God will never put you up here. With that kind of thing, that's what's kept you from being up here, as to even working with me. And you'll never be up here. Though you had it in your mind that God someday would make the change with you, but he'll never do it. He'll never do it. That's like another one that come and indoctrinated my people about the great change that was going to be made and how that God was going to put him up here. I said, no. It's a lying spirit. The man wound up an adulterer, run off from his wife, took a young girl and was gone and wrecked his life. See, don't be foolish, folks. Don't be foolish. That ain't sitting so well with some of you. What it is, when I start talking like this, it brings the devil out of you. Them that's got the devil in you, and them that's walking in the flesh, that's fleshly minded, old fleshly mind begins to come up. That old carnality has been coming up. See, it stayed hid all this time because Satan, the sons of Satan, are trying to get that message and trying to get these things so they'll know how to control the righteous and how to dispute and overthrow. And the carnal mind is trying to get it to exalt self, raise up flesh and be something. You'll never get it. You'll never get it. You're already marked off. God marked you off at Calvary. You'll never even see it. Somebody said, but I heard it. I know you did. You reflected it. You won't be able to have any of it. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. All right. But to you that are the true Israel, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. See, the Lord will let one pop his head up as that old serpent so that another can pop his head up when we say something about it. And then it runs down the line in a chain reaction. And all the members begin to try to strengthen one another. And thus they, as in the days of Jesus, stood up when he commanded them to sit back down, or said, Satan, hold your peace. Let's sing a little chorus together. Somebody said, well, I thought all of us were children of God, but you're not. You're not. Somebody said, well, you're not the judge. The Bible said the saints shall judge the world. Just use righteous judgment. And said judgment begins in the house of God. That's what we're here for. So then, all of you are not. Some of you are fleshly, very carnal. And coming to this church, people come here that live on the campground that don't belong to God. They live on the campground day after day, and we allow as to the rain on the just and the unjust as to our mercy. But they're not of God. They're carnal minded. Their love is for the things of the world. Their love is for the flesh. And they are adulterers. And they are fornicators. And they are liars. And they are cheats, swindlers, gossipers, backbiters. They are envious. They have all kind of things as to the manifestation of the flesh. They are in the flesh. They can never please God. As I have said before, Paul said, so say I again, that they that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, you can wait the church ages out, but that won't do you any good. You don't get into the kingdom of God as religious teachings of the formalities of religion in the world by sitting around making a confession as of Christ and saying that you belong to a church or you are a Christian, you are translated into the kingdom of God by faith through the righteousness of the hearing of the word that, as the minister, brings forth the word of God. And your spiritual man surrenders and it's translated into the spirit of Christ, which is a spirit of oneness in each church of the true body of Jesus Christ. And you that are reasoning, and you that hear this intellectually, and you that try to define this, and you that try to figure this out, you are in the flesh, and you are of the devil, and of your father the devil, and his will you do, for he saveth the things that be of the flesh. So when the sons of God come to present themselves, the sons of the devil come also, and the daughters of the devil also, and they come as to the love of the flesh and the love of the things of the world. And so he is there, trying to intellectually define, trying to intellectually bring this thing down to a definition of his intellectual reasoning so that he can continue his foolishness and frolic and lasciviousness throughout the church ages as to the time of the grace. And then after that is torment, as they said when Jesus was going to cast out the devils. They know they have a time of torment, and they said, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" So you can see, folks, the things that I'm saying. But the fruits of the Spirit is love. Love. Not lust as to the love of the world, as to the filial love, but agape love as to God. Not lust, but love. Seeing it is love. Another thing, when you got God's Spirit, you are at peace with your neighbor, with the pastor, with God. You are at peace in your heart 24 hours around the clock. And the Bible said, "Perfect peace have they that love the Lord." Great peace. "And they that keep their minds stayed up in Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace." Then it said love. It said peace. It said long suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness, kindness or brotherly kindness, brotherly love. And on and on and on, these wonderful fruits of the Spirit. If your spirit was of Christ, that's what I would record from you. But that's not what I record from many of them. And that means that God, weighing the Spirit, some of you are, as I preach to you tonight, the bond's child. You are the predestinated as to go into the lake of fire. And though I preach many sermons, as it was with Paul, the Bible said, when Paul preached, they that were ordained as to before the foundation of the world as to the elect, they believed. And the Bible said the others did not. He shook his raiment and went his way and said, "Your blood be upon your own head." And when we preach, we come to seek and save that which is lost. That which was lost. Some of you have never been lost. You were born of the devil. You're the children of the devil. The Bible said as to Jesus, given the parable, that it was the enemy that sowed you, and that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not sowed or planted shall be rooted up. And in that day he said the trees of God shall be so few in number that a little child shall number them, and said all the trees of God are full of life or sap. But you that are as a dry tree, when they saw him at Calvary, they wept. He said, "Don't weep for me, weep for your children." He said, "I'm a green tree full of life. And if they will do this to a green tree," said, "think what they're going to do to the dry." Let's sing a little chorus together. Remember the parable when he said, "Without the wedding garment, have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for remission of sin? Have you repented of your sins? Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you coming into this charity as to a supper or a feast of charity, as a spot, as a blemish? Or are you coming in as into this grace of God, or as the kingdom since Calvary has to be translated into this kingdom? Are you coming in with the wedding garment?" You can get up another way. Go in as a thief and a robber. Jesus said, I'm the word and I'm the door. And if a man come in by me, he's all right. But if he climbs up any other way, he can religiously get in as to the transformating of his mind as the demons do, as to ministers of Satan, and even as Satan is transformed into an angel of light.
and get into the presence of these blessings. But there's coming a time when the blood will be taken off the seat of atonement, and Lucifer will be cast out, and the third part of the stars fell with him. Or that is to say, the reflectors that's in the church that's intellectually reflecting this thing is religion. They won't be under grace anymore. They won't be illuminated anymore with the wonderful presence of the glorious Christ as to that image that protects them from the wrath of God. Can we sing together? Give the morn's tea to the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. The finishing of the mysteries is at hand, and with that, the change. Because people that understand are going to come on down the trail to this wonderful place of perfection in their understanding. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. And that's what we're trying to do, faith for the hearing of the word and the word, and then your faith becomes perfect as to believing in what you know or what you understand to be your inheritance in God as the mind of Christ, which transfigures you into that wonderful word of God. Let's sing a love. Every time that we sing, we come here to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Let us go on to perfection. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Are you born of the Spirit? If so, jealousy, hatred, malice, evil surmisings, fault finding, it won't be in your life. It just won't be in your life. It just won't be in your life if you're born of the Spirit. If you're not, then you're religiously reflecting as to the image, as through the days of grace, as to this illumination of the image that keeps the wrath of God off you while the blood is on the seat of atonement. For the rain is on the just and the unjust, on the tare and on the wheat. If you let him live on the inside of you and surrender your body to him every day, to die daily, to surrender your body, to conform to his image, then you can have a great life and you can have a great measure. You can have a great place in heaven. But if not, that's bad. All right, I know you resent me. I can feel it. I don't care how slight it is, unless the Lord hides it. I can tell there's a resentment, even so slight that you yourself won't even discern it, and it'll still have hold of you. And the infiltration will still be there. All because you are carnal minded and you are carnal in your reasoning. And it will always reason against the man of God or against the things of God. It'll try its best to get that grace and that knowledge. It'll do everything it can to reason around, but it'll always resent the man of God or the ministry, the children of God. It'll always find fault because it seeks preeminence. It seeks preeminence of the flesh. It seeks self-esteem, self-projection, and those things that pertain unto the flesh. And when it's there, it will always, always war against the man of God. And no matter how slight it is, he'll pick it up unless the Lord hides it. You should not resent. You should not evil surmise. Be what you are up front. Because if somebody says something, perhaps it doesn't sound too entreating, David said, in my haste, I said it. Didn't mean to do it, but in my haste, I said it. See, and you can forgive a person for that, and you can still find basis of fellowship. But if a person resents, they're conniving and they war against you, see, you are then in trouble with God, because that's against God. When's to begin with? The Bible said, touch not God's anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But, as I say, if Frank's got something to say to you or me, he just says it, which I appreciate. I told my wife right after we first married, a number of years afterwards, I bet she wouldn't say it. She's just easy going, and I said, it can't be. It can't be. Human beings ain't put together like that. I said, somewhere, someday, it'll all come out. It's to your feelings. And of course it did. And I said, now Betty, I said, now don't you do that. I said, if you don't like what I'm doing, tell me. If you're upset, tell me. I said, another thing don't you do. Betty would get upset at me and then she wouldn't do her work for God. And I said, that's cruel, Betty. I said, you cannot do that. I said, why should you get upset at me and then be cruel to God? I said, you need to do your work. So afterwards, she got to where she'd do exactly that, which sometimes got a little bit rough on me because she would do God's work and she didn't care nothing about doing my work, whether it was fixing meals or whatever. But anyway, I'm just saying that to say this. You should be what you are. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not anything except what God has made me. It's His grace. Whatever grace He's given to you, that's what you are. And whatever grace He will give to you, that's what you'll be. Why do you think of yourself so highly if you've never done anything for God? Do what you can for God. Do what you can. Let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Whatever you've done, that's what you are. A lot of people feel like they're so great, and then they look at somebody else like they're so much for nothing when they haven't done anything. You know, and they're just vainly puffed up by their flesh and mind of what they think they're born to be and someday going to be, when really in all their lifetime they really ain't done nothing but just create a problem. But the Bible said do whatever there is as to proving your measure of faith, and whatever you accomplish in life, then you'll have rejoicing within yourself and not in another. And then you'll not be thinking more highly of yourself, but soberly according to the measure of faith that God has dealt unto you. And then you won't deceive your own selves, thinking yourself to be something. The Bible said, well, you're nothing. So you that love the Lord, you're that trying to do something for God, continue on. And God will bring you to a greater height, to a greater glory, to a greater thing. He'll make you a soul winner. He that winneth souls shall outshine the brightness of the noonday. Can't nobody change that. You know, you want to win a soul, you want to do something for God. Or I want to win a soul and I want to do something for God. And somebody would like to tarnish our life. Somebody would like to put something on us. Say, well, bless God, when the time comes, when the time comes. Now, when the time comes, it's going to be exactly like you said. You win souls and you're going to outshine the brightness of the noonday. And all of your accusers, it's going to be like it was when Jesus said, woman, where are those thine accusers? And they're going to find out that they were the ones that were the troublemakers. For the accuser of the brethren is Satan. But them that are of God magnify the ministry, the minister, the church, the brethren, and they praise them. They don't go to ball games to praise those kind of people. They don't praise the dollar. They don't praise their workers, their businesses. They don't praise their families. They praise God. They praise the brotherhood. And inasmuch as they do it to the least of them, they do it to God. And they encourage the hearts of them that love the Lord. Somebody would say, well, I think you're discouraging my heart. I hope I am. I'm trying hard. To the end that God will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. Because you are workers of iniquity. And of your father the devil and his will you will do. I hope I can discourage you. Until there's not another breath left within you to raise yourself up against the kingdom of God or to hope in this life when you're going to destroy souls. But ye that are the true Israel of God and ye that are the true children of God, I praise you in a good thing because it is a good thing to serve God. It is a good thing to deny yourself. It is a good thing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good thing to meditate in the laws of God day and night. It is a good thing to try to help your fellow man as to the widows and the orphans and to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. It is a good thing to have joy, peace, and righteousness and long-suffering and meekness and to bridle your tongue. It is a good thing to have the mind of Christ and to be like Christ and to live the life of Christ and to follow in the steps of Christ. That is a good thing. And I praise you in it. But I cannot praise all of you. Because even the same person that I felt as before is still in the same condition as before when all of this started. Why? Somebody said, because he's bad? No, it's carnality. All right, let's sing together again. I'm only trying to help you. Somebody said, well, don't that bother you? It does. It bothers me. It cuts me like a knife. But the thing is, it don't bother me as to my soul welfare. It's your soul welfare. I'm trying to help you. But you've gone so long in that until many people have warped their personality. They've literally warped it by having this characteristic of evil that's pressing their minds until they can't get straightened out anymore, like a rubber band that you stretch it so many times it doesn't go back to its proper order. I had someone yesterday, I was talking to the brethren. They were in the men's meeting while you was there when we said that there's someone here, thus and thus and thus, and thus it has been with him, and thus it is changing to this, and then thus it is changing to this. And this is the changes to the dispensation or disposition as to the way this thing is affecting you. Well, while we were sitting down in the basement of the multipurpose building, a brother came and sat down in the midst of us and began to tell the brethren, said it was him, which that is absolutely the truth. It was him. I did not call him out to embarrass him in any way. But he said, it is the truth. Said to the extent that exactly the things he said as to the changes in the several different stages of mind that it went through, that it was exactly to a T as it went through. And as it was today, talking to somebody where I saw Satan aggravating them. And I said to them today, I'd like to tell you a heart as to these things. And the man wholeheartedly acknowledged it and said it was the truth. And he found a great deliverance and a great relief in this. And as to the brother that we went to the other day, and we told him his heart when he dropped his head over and wept, really wept and wept, and said, it's the truth, so help me God. And said, so that's what scares me, is because it was the Lord. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they see him not. And the same thing as to yesterday when Dobie was healed of the snake bite after the snake had bit him. And he said that it struck his leg and the deadness moved into his leg and moved into his stomach and was moving over to his other leg and moving up to his chest. And when we prayed and I said, the Lord killed it. I felt him do it. And it really struck the boys. His faith went up and he come back and he said, Brother Pike, immediately, so I could have shouted out of the house. He said, because immediately it began to break him, began to go down. And yesterday when we talked to him, he was feeling fine. And as the many, many things, as the brethren was testifying about last night, as one right after another testified of the wonderful victories of Christ and the great marvelous things that God had done. And as it was when we told you, the war is now over. As the very next day they published it, that the war, it looked like the war was over, and the second day afterwards they published that the man said he wanted to surrender, and then he took on a rebellion and the Lord brought him down. But anyway, they stopped the bombing, and I said they will have to go in with the troops into the city to take the city. That's customary. That's the only way they can take it is to go in there. I said they'll go in there to possess the city. But when they go in, I feel that there will be a surrender and they'll meet very little opposition because God has brought the thing to an end. Whereas they started in and it happened exactly that way. And just before they started in, after that I had made the statement, I understood that that's the way it would be. I looked and in the vision and I saw them as it was happening that way. And it happened that way. And God, within a few following days, he brought the end. Whereas the Spirit of truth as to what God says and what God does. And someone would say, well, anybody could have done that. Well, that's fine. I don't know why anybody didn't do it. And besides that, if you want to search everything out and go back through history, go back anywhere, and tell me of all the wars where somebody stood up and said it's ended, and within just a few days as to a week or two it ended. You can tell me about that too while you're searching. But nevertheless, God has done what he said he would do. He continues to do that. When I say these things to you here, I don't come to you and tell you as before the audience. A lot of times I come to you as I did the brother when I spoke to him today alone. And as the brother when he broke down and cried. And the other brother, I didn't say anything to as to individually. He came to us and to the audience. Whereas there's a number of people that do this because in their hearts, they want to do this to glorify God, that people may see the good works. For the Bible said, as Jesus perceived their thoughts in his heart, and it said, and they will fall down before you, reporting that God is in you of a truth, and others will see and glorify God. But nevertheless, God continues on and on, and the wonderful things of God continue to take place. Brother Hauser, David Hauser, was testifying among the brethren yesterday as to when he called me over the night, he wouldn't rest until he got in touch with us. And his mother was dying, and he got in touch with us. And I said, I'll pray, David. And then they said his mother was dead. They lost her. And there was calling in the family. And David said, they said, she's gone. And I said, David, your mother will not die. And David, he just got on top of the mountain. He accepted it. The mother come out of it. Now I think her brother has died, and about three members of the family has died. Has been a year or so ago. She's still living and going strong. And said, besides that, when she went out as to wherever she went, she said, I saw Brother Pike in Israel, and said he was there, and the Jews would not accept him. And said, I saw him leave and I saw him return again. And then they accepted him. And sure enough, when we went back this time, I told Beta this had to do with it. And they accepted us. Let's give the Lord. So everything is working good to them that love the Lord. Which means something is happening. The gifts are in the church. They are in the church. And in that they are in the church, the gift of discernment, the gift of miracles, the gift of healings, the gift of wisdom, and as to the words of knowledge that God passes down and these kind of things, they are in the church. The ministries to the callings are in the church. And the gifts and the callings are without repentance, but you must abide in the calling, whatever your calling is. Administer the gift as to coveting a gift. Whatever you desire, place your heart upon it. God will give it to you. But they're in the church. But folks, you're never going to be able to use them. Never. Until you get your body under subjection, until you bring your body to holiness, until you make manifest in your natural body that spirit of holiness that's on the inside of you, that's perfected you in the sight of God as the salvation. You're going to have to sanctify yourselves daily, yourselves, as to the body daily. And you're going to have to believe, and you're going to have to build your faith in God as to conquering this flesh and as to mixing works with your faith as to this body, as to bringing it onto the chains, as the Bible said, Savior says, from this underworld generation. And you're going to have to make manifest in your mortal genes the life of Jesus. And it's to the measure that you're willing to subject yourself as to the mortifying of the deeds of the flesh, all the giving up as to your life to save it, as in this world is to lose it, in that world is to lose it, in this world is to gain momentum with Christ and to come to a greater wonderful act of God in your life as to the gifts, as to the power. See, and going on with the Lord Jesus as to this, then you can have the full measure of the Spirit of God, and something will happen in your life. Mortifying the deeds of the flesh. That belong to God, they have denied the flesh. They have killed out the flesh. They've mortified it. Because by Jesus is dead in the sight of God anyway as to your salvation. But as to you coming as to your measure, as to what you're going to kill it out, is only what that life as to Christ on the inside that's been transferred to you as to what it will be made manifest in this body, that the world might see it. You've got to smother Satan out. Get him away. Do away with him. Overcome him. Fast. Pray. Study. To show yourself approved. Meditate in his laws day and night. Cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought until the mind of Christ is perfected in you. If not, and that's you, the gifts will never work in you. You'll never really be used of God. Your faith will never excel. You'll never accomplish anything for Christ. You have enough knowledge from God and the teachings of God that you should be sweeping the entire world. The entire world. Right now. You should be like the vision I saw where those horsemen rode through the air. And I saw as it was like a broom that came down, was out in the back out in the desert country out west. And that as it was like a broom that came down and just swept the earth as those horse riders came by. You should be doing that. But it's up to you. It's like somebody tonight not carrying on their office, not going on with their work, backing off. You know why? Because condemnation was in their heart. You know why? Because they ain't been doing right. They ain't been doing right. You say, what is it that they haven't been doing right in? They haven't been doing right in their marriage. They haven't been treating their companion right. And now it's got the best of them and the condemnation's built up. They didn't think it amounted to too much. You know, you explode, you have your temper, you say something mean to your companion. You treat them wrong when the Bible tells you as to men not to deal treacherously against the wife of thy youth, for God hateth putting away. And you don't think anything's wrong, you don't think it amounts to anything. And you talk mean to different people, and you talk haughty to different people, and you don't think it amounts to anything. Sometimes even you women, you don't honor your husband, obey your husband in all things, had the Bible commanded you to. And you act up and you act arrogant, and you don't think it amounts to much, but all of the time that's condemnation that's striking your heart. Every time that condemnation hits you as to the little foxes spoiling the vines, you do this little thing, and then you do another little thing, and then you do another little thing. And you make a little allowance for this on TV and a little allowance on this for radio and a little allowance in the magazines over here and a little allowance for this on the billboards out here and a little allowance here in the discussion and a little joke and a little laugh and you're gone. You're gone because to begin with, foolish thoughts is sin or the thoughts of foolishness is sin. And you make allowance for that. If you don't do that, you just plain out become carnal. You just don't talk about spiritual things. You don't think about spiritual things. You don't follow after spiritual things. All day long, your mind is on something to eat, something to drink, something to buy, something you'd like to have, some kind of conversation as to natural things, on faces and forms and clothing and riding and buying and looking and whatever you might do. All day long, you're just natural-minded. And the Bible said to be carnally-minded is death. It means God isn't there. So when you come to church tonight or as a night, then the carnality begins to show because the light will show up the spots and then the preacher picks it up. And that's why you're in trouble. You can't do that. It doesn't matter if you cry just because somebody talks about God. You know, sometimes you just weep and cry and just say, boy, I just feel God. You know, I feel so good because you said that. But that don't mean nothing. Esau cried too. He cried too. That don't mean a thing. It's when you live right, when you think right, when every day of your life you meditate in the laws of God, and when nobody else is around but just you and Jesus, that you're singing in your heart and making melody in your heart to God and loving the Lord and wanting to be like Jesus and trying to perfect your life and save the virtues of your life and perfect the virtues that are missing in your life to bring them back into your life. See, that's when you've got Christianity, folks. You don't have Christianity just when you come to church and hear the preaching and feel real good about the situation and then go back out and your only interest is in buying, selling, and getting gain and feeling real good and say, glory to God, I'm on my way to heaven. I think I'll make myself $1 million while I'm on my way. That is the way it works. And then besides that, them that labor to give unto the Lord, the Bible said labor that you might have to give unto God. That's supposed to be your mind. That's supposed to be your labor. And the mind that's in you that's in Christ Jesus or was in Christ Jesus. When he tabernacled in the body was, the Bible said, and I must be about my Father's business. Always thinking on the things of God. Always doing the things of God. Always walking with God. Always saying, whatsoever I see the Father do, that's what I do. I do that always. Always being of faith like as it was with Enoch. The Bible said in before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith it's impossible to please God. Let's just lift our hands up and sing that little chorus. I will praise
Him. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. sinners slain. Can you praise Him? Do you love Him? Do you want to be like Him? Are you giving up the world? Are you trying to follow the Lord? Are you just playing a religious game with God? Is it just a religious game? Well, I'm going to ask Brother Larry Allen to come and dismiss us if he will. While Larry's coming, can you pray with us? Is Larry Allen out there? We'll praise Him, my praise Him. Is Chris out there? Well, ask Chris to come and dismiss us. And we'll give Him glory.